We'll be in Hebrews chapter 10, continuing with the series in Hebrews. Jesus is better is the theme throughout Hebrews. We're going to be in verses 1 through 18. Jesus provided a better sacrifice. You know, we acknowledge, as Christians, we acknowledge and celebrate that great truth that Jesus provided a better sacrifice. But we must not neglect how this truth should shape our attitudes, our expectations. I mean, what does God have for you? How does this great truth that Jesus provided a better sacrifice, how does that impact us as individuals and as a church in our lives as we live them out? And God has a great purpose for you as an individual and for us as a church. He has purpose in that. And so I want you to start thinking about how that may play out in your everyday life. Because that's really, you know, we're here for an hour or two. And then there's the rest of the week. And, you know, the songs, you know, that we sing about, you know, shine, Jesus, shine. I mean, are we kind of subconsciously thinking that God's going to do it? Or are we forgetting that God gave us His Spirit, His power, His Word, and He wants to shine on our life in such a way that we shine for those that don't have Him? I mean, we sing about, you know, Jesus flooding the world, but He's flooding the world with us. That's kind of what we got to remember. You know, if God was going to do it Himself, Jesus wouldn't have left. He would have stayed and done it Himself. But He prepared 12 individuals. And, you know, Judas left, but then he went and got Paul. So He prepared 12 individuals to turn the world upside down. And from those 12, we have what we have today. And it doesn't stop here. It goes forward through us today. And so we got to start thinking these things. So let's look at the passage. Let's look at chapter 10, 1 through 4 to start with. We're going to go through 18 eventually. 1 through 4, we have the shadow of the past. The shadow of the past. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the actual form of those realities, the law can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered, since the worshipers, once purified, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in the sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So we have the shadow of the past. The law was the shadow of the good things to come. But it had no substance. It had no power to cleanse us. Okay? They made those sacrifices to cover their sin. You know, it's kind of like sweeping your floor, and you get it in a pile, and you pick the rug up, and sweep it under the rug, and then lay the rug down. Is the floor still dirty? Yes, you just covered it up. Okay? That's what these sacrifices basically did. You know, we had sin, but sin remained even after the sacrifices. You know, think about if you want to borrow some money. So you go to the bank, and you say, I want to borrow some money, however much money. And the bank says, well, you know, you don't have any worthiness of yourself. Do you have anyone that can sign for you? And so you have this really good friend, and you go to him, and he says, sure, I'll sign. I believe in you. I'll sign for you. And so he signs the note. And then the end of the year comes, and you owe the money. You still don't have it. So you go back to your friend, and you say, I need more money. And so he signs again for more money. And you do this year after year. See, that's what the Day of Atonement was with these sacrifices. Year after year, the priests would go in and they go into the holy place and make a sacrifice for the sins of the nation. But every year they had to do this over and over again. It never ceased. For over 1,000 years, they're making these sacrifices year after year. And the sin was still there because guess what? The people went home from church that day and they do just like you and I. We still mess up, don't we? Every day. We do something wrong. We either commit some sin or we think some sin or bad attitude or whatever. We all do these things. And it stays there. But, you know, your debt is covered. That guy just keeps covering your debt. But the debt remains, doesn't it? It's still there. Until one day, your friend says, you know what? You're unable to pay this back. I'll just pay it all for you. I'll just forgive the debt. And that's what Jesus did. He's your friend. He covered your sins for a lot of years. But when you accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He paid it off. He paid it off. And the past is now a shadow. I mean, do we remember things about it? Yeah, but you know what? We got a new life. We have new promises. We have a better future than we had before. And God has a purpose for that future. He's got a purpose for your life and a purpose for the life of this church. The shadow of the past. The Day of Atonement served to remind Israel of their sin and cover it, not forgive it. And what Jesus came to do was to forgive it once and for all. And that's why we don't have to do the sacrifices anymore. Glory to God for that. We have the sacrifice for the present. Verses 5 through 12. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, as He was coming into the world. See, because blood, you know, God knew all along. Sacrificing animals isn't going to get it done. He knew all along He was going to have to sacrifice His Son. He knew that all along. And says, therefore, as He was coming into the world, who? God. Came into the world as Jesus Christ. And He said, you, God, Father, you did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. And then I said, see, it is written about me in the volume of the scroll. I have come to do your will, God. This is about Jesus here. And after He says above, you did not want or delight in sacrifices and offerings, whole burnt offerings, which are offered according to the law. He then says, see, I have come to do your will. And He takes away the first to establish the second. He took away the law, the sacrificial system. He took that away in order to establish the second. You see, that's the problem the Jews have today. Is they're still looking at the old ways. And they don't realize, you know, we don't have to sacrifice anymore. And that's why God destroyed the temple. They continued to sacrifice even after Jesus came and died and rose again and ministered and ascended and all that truth and the truth of the apostles went out preaching the truth and the Jews just held on to their religion and they held on to their sacrifices and God sent Rome in. Flatten the temple, and they haven't sacrificed since. We got to understand these things. He takes away the first to establish the second. And by this will of God, we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. And every priest stands day after day, because you got to remember when this was written, the priests were still doing their thing. Okay, the temple was still intact. The Jews were still doing their sacrifices. Every priest stands day after day ministering and offering the same sacrifices time after time, which can never take away sin. But this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The sacrifice is for the present. It's for the right now. It was for the right now back then, and for the right now ever since. Because what does the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation. We have no guarantee for tomorrow. Not one of us has guarantee for tomorrow. Today is the day. If you don't know the Lord, today is the day. Today is the day, the present. And then you know what? 10 years from now, the present, that day is the day. Until the Lord comes, when the Lord chooses in His timing to end this whole deal, that's when it's done. But until then, today is the day. The sacrifice is for the right now. It's for the here and now. On our behalf, Jesus provided the sacrifice for sin once for all. It says here, God never delighted in these offerings and these sacrifices. He didn't delight in that. All these people having to come and kill their goats and sheep and the birds and all the different things that the grain offerings. And all. He didn't delight in that. We tend to forget just how holy God is. He's holy. He is so holy, He cannot bear sin. And that abhorrence of sin is so great that His love for us was so great that in order to satisfy both, He had to sacrifice His Son to do it. And we got to understand that. It was not an easy thing what God did. It was not a light thing that He did. It was a big thing what He did for us. For us, as unworthy as we are, He did it for us. It was God's will that we have an opportunity to have relationship with Him. But our sin was in the way. And you know, every other person out there that doesn't know the Lord, their sin is in the way. And we got to start be thinking outside the walls, folks. Outside the walls. The sacrificial system covered our sin. It covered it. But through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our sins are not just covered. And get this truth, we are actually cleansed. We're clean. We're white as snow. You know, if you've ever been somewhere where the fresh snow covers everything, it is so white it almost blinds you. I remember living in New Mexico, we'd get up after the first snow and I'd come outside to go to work and nothing had touched the snow. It's just I stand on the porch of our mud room and my van would be sitting there and it's just covered and everything, all the dirt. I mean, it was, dirt road, and it was a ranch type thing. But when the snow was on it, oh my goodness. And if the sun came out, the reflection was just awesome. And the Bible says that's what Christ does for us. We are that clean. And that, we're to shine. Jesus shines on us and we're clean and we should be reflecting Him to a lost and dark world, bringing light to it. We're kind of the lens that when Christ shines, it goes through the lens and illuminates a dark world. We need to ask ourselves, what do we illuminate when we walk into a place? Are we illuminating it with Christ? Are we reflecting His glory in that moment, in that time, in that place? Our sins are not just covered, we are actually cleansed from our sins. And I put here, do we really get that? Do we really get it, that we are cleansed? And do we get the responsibility that we have with that, that comes with it? To whom much is given, the Bible says much is required. And we've been given, everything, right? And God says, I want to use you. I want to use you. Are we allowing that to happen? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Great thing about this is there's a sureness for our future. There's a sureness of the future. 13 through 18. I like this. He, Jesus, is now waiting until His enemies are made His footstool. You ever think about footstool? There's sometimes when something's too high, you get a footstool and you stand on it. You stand on it. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to stand. Remember the great prophecy at the very beginning of time in Genesis. Jesus said, oh yeah, the serpent is going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. You know, at the cross, Satan tried to bruise Jesus, and he did. He killed him for 3 days. And then Jesus arose in victory over sin and death. And at that moment, the serpent, you know, somebody was talking about, they were talking about snakes this morning, you know, and you crush his head, he's dead. You crush it. And how, you know. And that's the picture here. His enemy's going to be his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Forever, those who are sanctified. You're not just perfected for a little while. You're not just cleansed for a little while. You are cleansed forever. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, for after he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he says, after that, he adds, and this is the great blessing, folks. I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. Isn't that a good news? How many sins you got? Don't try to count them. You know? How many sins do I have? There's no way. No way to number them. No way. You know what? I've probably forgotten more than I've remembered or could remember. But he says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. And he says, he ends it with, now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. When you accept the offering that Christ made on your behalf for sin, it remains no more. Once you accept that, it's done. Past, present, future sin covered and by the blood, and you are cleansed by the blood. With this cleansing comes a great assurance of the future. We are perfected forever. That doesn't mean we are perfect. We will be one day. And that word perfected, it's like matured. Are you mature in the Word? I hope you are. And there's only one way to get there, by the way. That's read it. Read it. Allow God to cycle the Word through you. He said, I put, we are now in a great covenant with God Himself. Great covenant with God Himself. Instead of being under the law, this is so cool. In the Old Testament, they were under the law. But He says, I'll put the law on their hearts and on their minds. He puts the law in us. And you know when you do wrong, don't you? You know. You know, when you mess up, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I got a really bad attitude today. You know it's there. But you know what's great? On top of that, the law is in us. And on top of that, God says He'll never remember our sin. Now, that's really cool. Now, does He know you messed up? Yeah. But you know what? He doesn't bring it up. You're forgiven. You don't bring it up. What we have is complete forgiveness. And because of that, we no longer have to make offerings for our sin. Forever. Forever. That's a tremendous truth. We have forgiveness now in cleansing, and we still battle our sin nature. But you know there's going to come a time when we're all going to be clean, totally clean, completely forgiven, completely clean, standing before God Himself in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. That's an amazing promise, folks. I hope you bank on that. Sin will be removed. There isn't going to be any sin in heaven, folks. It's going to be so good. There'll be no, I heard somebody put it one way, there'll be no locks on the doors in heaven, you know, because no one's going to go into your house. You got a mansion there, might have a lot of cool stuff in it. You don't got to worry about it. There'll be no sin. You know, locks only keep out honest people, right? No sin. We will not have a sin nature anymore. And everyone else that's there won't have a sin nature either. It will be perfect fellowship. Are you looking forward to that? Won't it be nice? That's going to be awesome. Because you know what? No matter where you go, you got to kind of keep your guard up, don't you? It's a shame, but it's true. Secondly, Satan will be destroyed. The Bible tells us, you know, he's going to be tossed into the lake of fire. We will not have an adversary anymore. Isn't that good news? You're not going to have somebody that's trying to destroy you and your family. It'll just be perfect harmony with the Lord. Nothing, no one working against you to break your fellowship with God. See, that's what Satan does. He tries to... We've been in Proverbs in the men's group on Thursday night, going through Proverbs. And much of it is like, listen to me, son. Listen to me, son. Don't fall into this trap. Don't fall into that trap. And we got to understand we have an adversary that's setting all kinds of traps. And what does he use? He uses you against yourself. We looked at the book of James Thursday night, and it talked about the verse in there. It says, it's only by your own lusts and desires that you're tempted. You see, because we all have areas in our life where we can be tempted. You know, there's some areas in my life I'm not tempted at all. Other people may fall, but I won't fall in that area. Satan doesn't attack me there. He knows I don't have a problem there. But then there's other areas that I battle, and so do you. And that's where Satan goes. That's exactly where he goes. But the good news is one day, Satan will be destroyed. There'll be no more temptation. You know, don't forget what the Bible says. God does not tempt anyone. He's not a tempter. Satan's a tempter, and our own lusts and desires allow us to be tempted. That's where it comes from, folks. But Satan will be destroyed. We will not have an adversary. That's something to look forward to. Something to look forward to. And then finally, eternity will be experienced. You know, when we get there, we won't have to look forward to it anymore. It will be reality. It will be the present. And that's the funny thing about eternity. It never ends. So it's like it's the present every day, forever. And it'll all be good. I can't even imagine that. Can you try to imagine forever? I mean, put 10,000 years on it. Okay, I can kind of grasp that. You know, forever? I can't even grasp it. How can you go a million years and you still got just as much time with God as you ever had? Still ahead. That's wild when you think about it. And yet that's what God gives us. It's the opportunity is there for every single person to have a part in eternity. That's the great blessing that we have. Those that know the Lord. But you know, there's a ton of people that don't know the Lord. Millions and millions and millions and millions. And this talked about the shadows and the sureness and the sacrifice and those kind of things. Salvation was promised in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament it's provided for. It's provided for. Jesus provided it. So how does all this affect our lives? I mean, let's get it back now. Okay, we looked at the Word. We see these things. You know, it's kind of like that verse, Corinthians, the great love chapter. It says that there's faith, hope, and love, but in the end, there's just love. Love is the greatest. Why? Because, you know, in this life, we have faith, and we believe through faith that one day we'll be in heaven. And you know what? There's hope. You know, we kind of, that hope means confidence, and as Christians, we should be confident that we're going there as well, because what Jesus did was enough. Okay, and we put our faith in Him. So therefore we have confidence, and then love will be there. And it says, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because when you get there, you don't need faith or hope anymore. You're there. You know, when I was going on my trip, I had, you know, faith, I'm going to go on this trip, I'm hoping I'll get to go, you know, that kind of thing. But once I was there, I was no longer thinking, I hope I get to go. I was there with my grandchildren and my son and his wife. And we were just having fun doing things. And I didn't have to hope for it. I didn't have to have faith in it. I was living it. I was experiencing it. And that's what this is talking about. You are going to one day be experiencing it, and there will be no more need for faith and hope, because you'll be there. Man, that's the promise we have as Christians. We should be excited. You don't look excited. Thank you. Sheesh. Thank you. So how does this affect our life? Oh, there, I had that up there. See, I was so excited I forgot my PowerPoint. Okay. Yeah, I'm all excited in here. Well, let your face know it, okay? You know, transfer it. All right. Then Jesus came. This is a verse I had Brad read this morning to start off our service. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." See, He has the authority to ask us to do what He's asking us to do. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're saying, you know, what the Bible said, you know, what Paul said in his writings, he said, "I was a slave to sin," but how did he always address himself in all of his epistles? The bondservant of Christ, the bondservant of Christ, a slave of Christ. You see, you're a slave to something. Now, you're either a slave to sin, which you were before you accepted the Lord. That's what all that freedom's about. When Jesus says, you know, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Okay, you were a slave to sin. You're freed from sin, but now you're a slave to Jesus Christ. He has the authority in your life, hopefully. Are you listening to what He has to say? And He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, we are to make disciples. Are you making disciples? Now, you may say, "Well, you know, am I supposed to be like Jesus and take these 12 people around and, you know, for 3 years? No, no. A disciple is a believer. It's a believer. You make disciples. Now, could He use you? Could you have a hand in their development? Yeah, maybe. You got to be open to it. But we're to go make disciples. That's why I got all these cards. I want to give everyone an opportunity to obey God. And, you know, and baptize them. You know, I want to see some people besides me up here baptizing people. Because you know what? It's not, baptism is not just for the pastor. Okay? You find it, if you think it is, you find it. Okay? It's not in there. He's telling everyone to go out there and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, if you lead your child to the Lord, you ought to baptize them. If you lead your friend to the Lord, you ought to baptize them. It's not just, you know, oh, I'm scared to be in front of people. Well, okay, cool. Do it anyway. Do we fear others more than we fear God? It's a good question to ask. Do we fear things in our life more than we fear God?
Usually.
A lot of times we do. I mean, we don't want to admit that. I mean, I want to say, oh, I fear God. Oh, yeah? Really? Do you really? I do in some areas. I'll be honest with you. I do more in some areas than I do others. It's something we all battle. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. This is our mandate as individuals and as a church. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, he's not sending you out alone. You have him right here. And he will empower you. He will enable you to obey him. He will. Because see, you know, the songs we were singing, you know, it's about Jesus light up the world. Well, he wants to light up the world with you. See? And we got to let him do that. And that's in Matthew. And then there's another verse. See, he doesn't ask us to do it in our power. He says, but you will receive power. You will receive power. You know, there's another verse that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? So, he knows that. So, he allowed us, provided for us, the Holy Spirit to give us power. The power that we need to obey him. And he says, and you will be my witnesses. He doesn't say that you might be my witnesses. He doesn't say, I hope you'll be a witness. He says, you will be my witnesses. It's a command. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Are you a witness? All a witness does, you may say, well, I don't have tremendous Bible knowledge. Pastor Mike, I haven't gone, you know, to Bible college. I haven't, you know. You got a life. Do you know your life? I remember we were having testimony time at a church once, and it's scary for people, you know. It's scary because people don't like being up in front and speaking and that kind of thing. But we had different people coming up and giving a testimony, and every one of them, you know, they came up with a piece of paper because they were scared to death. Okay, which I know the feeling, believe me. And this one guy, he got up there and somebody made the comment when he got up there, where's your piece of paper? He goes, I don't need no notebook. I know my life. You know, isn't that true? I don't need a notebook. We stand around and talk and we'll bring up stuff about our past just like that, don't we? We know what we've done. And you know what? If you have Christ in your life, you know what Christ has done in your life too. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to witness to what? What does a witness do? He tells what he sees. He tells what he has experienced. That's what a witness does. And so however Christ impacted you or is impacting you, that's what you share. You don't got to share, you know, some obscure book in the Bible or something. Is it good to have a few verses memorized? Absolutely. But share how Christ changed your life. That's what people want to hear. Because you know what? They got hurts and problems too. And they would like something to change in their life too. And that's what this is about. You know, Jesus provided a better sacrifice. Why? Why did he do it? Was it just so that Mike could go to heaven? Well, that's part of it. It was part of it was so you could go be with him. But you know what? Why did he leave us here?
It was so we could share. It was so that He could shine His light through us. And that's really where we need to go, folks. You know, we got this building program, and, you know, I don't know if you know, it's not been a secret, but, you know, on the next bulletin, you're going to see that we've exceeded the goal. The goal has been reached. Now, there's going to be more money going to be needed. That, you know, that amount of money is not enough. But that was a goal. That was what we wanted to get to so we could start doing things. Okay? It's not enough to finish the job. But what I'm here to tell you is, why are we doing that? Why are we adding a building? Why, you know, maybe we'll knock this wall out, or, you know, I'm even thinking maybe with what the limitations may be, it may be more practical just to build another building, okay? We don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, which way we're going to go. But the point that I want to get across to you is, why are we doing it? Is it just so that we're more comfortable? I mean, is that why we're doing it? I hope not. I mean, already I've got, you know, Lee's meeting with Terry in my office because there's no place for them to meet. You know, so do we need more room? Yeah. But why do we need more room? Hopefully it's so that we can minister. Hopefully it's so that we can do a better job out there in some way. Because our focus needs to be out there, not in here. That's the point of the whole gospel message. It's, we're on this side of it. You know, there was a time we were the ones out there. And now we're on this side of it. But there's still ones out there that God loves just as much as He loved you. He died for them just as much as He died for you. He wants to cleanse them just as much as He cleansed you. He wants to use them like He wants to use you. But we are the chosen vessels. We are the ones that have been chosen to do that job. And He's given us the power. He's given us the plan. He says, start right where you're at. Jerusalem, that was where they were at. So where are you at? Feeling. So when you go to the market in Feeling, are you looking for opportunities? When you go to the post office, are you looking for opportunities? When you go to McDonald's or the home grill place, or are you looking for opportunities? And you just have those cards ready. And share a little something of what God's done in your life. If it comes up, you know, sometimes, you know, God's not ready for them to hear. You know, there's a time and all that. But boy, when you get someone that's willing to talk with you about some things, take advantage of it. And say, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, here's where I go to church. You know, if you don't go, do you go to church anywhere? You know, that's a pretty harmless question. You're not asking them, you think they're going to hell? You don't just walk up to people. You think you're going to hell? No. You engage them. Just say, hey. You know, do you go to church anywhere? And if they say, yeah, I go, you know, wherever, then say, okay, cool. You know, but if they say, no, I've kind of gotten away from that, I go, well, here, you know, here's our church. Well, y'all check us out, man. It's cool. Pastor's a nut. You know, maybe that'll draw them. I don't know. But, you know, but just be real. And just share and invite. All we're asked to do is invite. God takes care of the rest. The Lord did all these things on our behalf and for our benefit. Those of us on this side. Okay? What Jesus did on the cross was the greatest expression of love the world has ever seen. He died for the worst of us. What we were all terrible, by the way. But we kind of look at others and say, well, that guy's worse than I ever was. You know, we can always find somebody worse, can't we? They've done greater sin. What we need to understand is our sin nailed him to the cross too. Regardless of what the other guy did. My sin nailed him to the cross. Okay? It was the greatest expression of love the world has ever seen. The Lord did not intend for us to keep these great truths to ourselves. But he did intend for us to go make disciples and teach them everything he commanded. The Lord has told us his will. He's given us his power. He even provided a plan. The rest is up to you and me. It's us. The rest is up to us. So yeah, we got plans. You know, it's good to have goals. We've got some money and we're going to start, you know, doing some things in preparation, hopefully to grow physically, you know, materially, you might say. But we must never forget who we're doing it for. We're doing it for those out there. We want to have a better facility to meet needs of people. We want to fulfill what the Lord has asked us to do. And that's the point. You know, we don't want to have a bigger place so that we can be, you know, more comfortable. I mean, is comfort good? Yeah. I mean, we all enjoy air conditioning and heat and those kind of things. And we want to provide an atmosphere where people can concentrate on the word and not on the temperature or whatever. But we got to remember the whole thing is about out there. It's about reaching people with the truth of Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross. That's what it's about. And we always got to keep that on the forefront. It's not about us. It's about them. He wants to use us. That's a great privilege. That's a great thing to have his power to accomplish his purpose. But it's about those that have not heard, those that have not tasted what God has for them. I'm going to have an invitation. I have a question. I have one question. There may be a person, there may be maybe more than one person. I have a question for you. Are you a disciple? Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Have you been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? If you have not, understand that today is the day of salvation. If you have not, there is an opportunity right now for you to ask God to forgive you and to save you. And that opportunity has been there ever since he died on the cross and rose again in victory. The opportunity has been there to every generation, to every person. And there may be some sitting here right now. For the rest of us, what is our attitude about this place? What is our attitude about this body of believers? Are we just looking for friends that we can come and have a relationship every week and, you know, have food every week and that's kind of where it ends? Or is our attitude one of such that, you know what, we have great opportunity here. We have great gifts in this midst here that we can pull together and shine bright for Jesus to a dark world. People are dying every day without the Lord. People are hurting every day and they've got no comfort. You know, my mom asked me while I was in Florida. My father is, you know, he's 89. I mean, some of you have been asking about my dad and, you know, and I've shared, you know, he doesn't know the Lord. He's adamantly opposed to the Lord. And he's having some health issues now, finally. It's not anything drugs can treat. It's just stuff that, it's just the way he is, and he's having a hard time with it. And he made the comment to my mom. He said, I don't even know why I'm still here. And I told my mom, I said, you know, when somebody totally dismisses the existence of God or of any eternity, how do you give somebody like that encouragement? How do you encourage somebody that all they think of they have is just what they have physically now in this world that we live in? How do you encourage somebody? How do you give them hope? You can't. You can't. And see, there's a ton of people out there like my dad that they don't have hope. They got nothing to look forward to. They're just going to die in their sin one day. You know, unless God steps in, my dad's going to die in his sin one day. I mean, that's just, you know, I've had to come to deal with the fact that if he's going to save my dad, it's probably not going to be through me. Because I've tried. I've tried to talk to him. But there's people out there that they don't have hope. They got stuff going. They may not be 89 years old and thinking I may not have tomorrow. They may be 30 years old, but they got huge problems going on. Maybe in their families or their children or health or whatever. What? We can give them hope. We can give them purpose. We can give them love. We can give them a reason to go forward. A reason to go on. We have that. And we need to share it. That's what God asked us to do. He said, I died for you. Will you please just go share what I did for you? Just go share it. So, what's our attitude? Are we as individuals making disciples? Because that's what we were told to do. Are we, and you know, and I don't believe in this organized thing. I think God intended it. He says, as you go. So that means as you go to the work, as you go to the school, as you go to the store, as you go to the mall, or you know, wherever it is you go, as you go, are you just willing to engage in a conversation for a couple minutes? That's all he's asking. What's your attitude? We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today, would, if you lift your hand, Brother Mike, I'm not a disciple because I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted to Him that I'm a sinner. I've never realized before that I need forgiveness in order to have relationship with Him. I am not that person, but I'd like to be. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up if you've never asked God to forgive you, if you've never confessed your sin to Him. Anybody like that? I hope that's true. I don't see a hand. I hope that that is really true. For the rest of us, anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I need to kind of rethink my attitude about what church is about and what my purpose in this grand scheme of things is about. Anybody like that? I've just been touched in some way. I need to make an adjustment. I need, amen. I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. How many here would raise their hand and say, praise God for eternity. I'm glad I'm for it. I'm in it, you know, because of Jesus. Oh, come on. Everybody ought to raise your hand. There we go. It's not that hard. Nobody's even looking. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us to be bolder in our faith. Lord God, I'm concerned. If we won't even raise our hands with closed eyes, how are we going to talk to people? Lord God, give us a heart. Give us a heart that's soft towards others. Lord, their needs and their state in this life, Lord, that You love them and they're on their way to hell and You want to use us to change their destiny. Father God, give us a heart that's soft towards others. Give us a mind that will be ready to share, Lord. Give us compassion. Help us, Lord, to look at them the way You look at them. And we'll give You the praise for what You will do through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As Kathy plays, you know, whatever God has touched your heart, this is your time to deal with it. You ask God how He wants you to live this out in your life as you attend this church. And you know what? If you're quiet, He'll answer. Let Him answer. This time is yours. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we thank you for the great gift of life through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that we have received from you to carry out your command. We ask you now to bless our lives, Lord, and Lord, give us boldness that we might share with the lost and dying world, Lord, the great truth of your plan of salvation. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done here. We look forward to what you're going to do in the future. Father God, just touch our hearts. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.